Troubling times should prompt us to pray. But how should we pray? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. What kind of prayer gets through to God and allows Him to get through to us? We're not asking out of idle curiosity. If you've been with us earlier this week, you know that we can either collapse in these last days or we can pray. We know that reciting our wish list to God isn't the kind of prayer that Jesus had in mind. So what is? Jim will give us three practical suggestions, but he'll start with an explosive illustration.
When I pull the trigger, the bullet quickly does its work. God hasn't pulled the trigger yet tonight. Why? Well, that's what he says. Though he bears long with them. With who? With his elect. Now, what does it mean he bears long with them? Peter wrestled with this problem over in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, the Lord is not slack. The Lord is not careless concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we understand that verse as it relates to the unsaved. It says that God is holding the pistol, but he's not pulling the trigger because there are people in this world he wants to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And if he pulled the trigger now, boom, they would be cut off without faith, without hope, without God, and forever perish. And so God is long-suffering. He's putting up with all their taunts. He's putting up with the corruption in government. He's putting up with all of the evil things that are going on in our world and will continue to go on. He is long-suffering. Why? So that some will be saved, so that all will hear, so that none need perish. See that? But Jesus says, God is bearing long with them, that is, with his own elect. And that's what Peter said. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, to the believers. What does that mean? It means that while God puts up with, tolerates with long-suffering patience, all the grievances of the evil in the world, and even the impact of that evil into lives of his own, he does it that they might not perish. Not one would perish. And he restrains his judgment for you and me to have opportunities to witness and to grow. Peter tells us in his little epistle to 1 Peter, James tells us in this little epistle that trials and temptations and stresses are good for Christians. It produces within them qualities of godliness and righteousness and patience. And as we respond to those trials and afflictions with patience and kindness, as we pray for those who oppress us, as we love those who do us evil, as we return good for evil, as we do that, God, in and through that, is providing a witness and testimony, his chosen witness and testimony, through which he is accomplishing his work in the unbelievers around us. So God's forbearance, God's long-suffering with evil, is our opportunity to serve him by living true lives. It's Peter then that says, be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. As the unbelievers around us see us functioning under duress and see us as meek and unimportant, but they see us walking with hope, with confidence, with love, with grace, with contentment, as they see that work of God reflected in our lives, that becomes the bait. Can I use that phrase? That becomes the bait that God uses in bringing those outside the faith to see the power of His transforming grace. And we are thereby exhibiting the better way. And in that sense, God is bearing with us. God is allowing these things to happen, allowing evil in our world, allowing us to experience tribulation and persecution and misunderstanding and pressure and even martyrdom. God is allowing that in and through that, our trust in Him will be perfected, our rewards for service of Him will be magnified, and the world around us will see an authentic demonstration of true truth. They will see the undeniable truth that God is indeed working in the world and that the gospel of Jesus Christ does indeed transform lives. I tell you, Jesus says, He will avenge them. Your day's coming. My day's coming. And when He avenges them, it will come speedily, swiftly. In the meantime, He tolerates their intolerable sin against Him and communicates to us courage, hope, peace, supernaturally by His Spirit through the channel of prayer. And then Jesus closes with this question, when the Son of Man does come, will He find the faith on the earth? That is, will there be people living on the earth at the time of His return who are indeed living lives of hope and confidence and peace and love and truth in the midst of a world gone mad? The answer is yes. Yes, He will find faith on the earth. And that will be a testimony to the grace of God and to God's power working in human lives. Let me talk to you just a minute now about this kind of prayer. Okay? If it is true, if the parable serves its purpose, men must always pray very strong. It is necessary that men be praying and not losing heart. If that's a true equation, and it is, then how does one experience that kind of praying? Let me give you three or four suggestions. First of all, that kind of praying is less me talking to God and more me listening to God talk to me. That kind of praying that gives me courage and strength, and it dissipates my tendency to frustration and irritation, must come as I listen to God and as I quiet my heart before God and as I let God minister to me personally. You know what I'm talking about? It's not the kind of praying that rushes into God's presence and says, God, here's 15 things I need. Bless my wife, bless my kids, bless the missionaries, bless the present, make sure there's food on the table, help me pay my bills, help me to get to the golf tournament on time, forgive me for not being kind to my wife. See you later, God. That kind of praying isn't going to do it. It's not the kind of praying that's the give me kind of praying. It's the kind of praying where you quiet your heart, your mind, where you be still and know that God is God. Secondly, it's the kind of praying that comes from the Word of God. Some call it scripture praying. It's taking the promises of God's Word right out of this book and lifting them to God in the first person. Let me illustrate. The Bible says, for we know that all things are being worked together for good to them that love God, right? What's that? Okay. This kind of praying is, Heavenly Father, I thank You that You love me. You have chosen me. And I thank You that every detail of my life and everything that affects my life is under your control. I thank you that you are working all of those things together for good. And that means that you're going to give me the best possible of all the options of life there are. Now, I haven't created a prayer there. I've just taken that promise and lifted it to God. Another promise. My God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's one from Philippians, okay? Now remember, that promise was made to people who had peeled out an extra buck that they needed and had sent it to Paul because he needed it. They had deprived themselves in order to advance the work of the kingdom of God. That's the qualification. Okay, now let's pray that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you know all my need, even things that I don't know about. And I thank you that you already have in your storehouse all the things needed, all the supplies required to meet everything that I need now or could ever need the rest of my life. I thank you that you've already promised to give it to me. And since you're my dad, and since you never lie, I will never lack anything I truly need. And Father, I thank you that that's not dependent upon Washington. It's not dependent upon my paycheck. It's not dependent upon my health. It's not dependent upon my skill. That verse, Father, stands right out there. It's your unconditional guarantee to me that you love me so much that you will meet every need I have all the time in every circumstance. That's praying God's promises. I thank you, Father, that you are my shepherd. You know me more than I know myself. There's absolutely no detail of my life or circumstance that you haven't already covered. And since you are my shepherd, and you've already anticipated and are going to care for all my needs, I'm not going to worry about it. And Father, since you're going to be up anyway, you worry about it tonight, and I'm going to go to sleep. That's praying the promises of God. That's the kind of prayer that offsets confusion, compromise, frustration, anger. See? Now, the third characteristic of this kind of prayer is to pray apocalyptically. And it goes like this. Father in heaven, I cannot imagine what it's going to be like to stand before you guilty of the kind of things that my neighbor has done to me. I know the day is coming when you are going to force that wrong and make it right. I know the day is coming when you are going to judge all nations for their sin. And that includes our government. So the fact that my senator won't act on my request and my legislators are voting in policies that directly violate the promises they made and what they know to be my intent. The fact that down at the corner, little babies are being butchered in the womb. And God, I feel so helpless about that. But God, you're not helpless. And I'm praying, God, that you will touch the hearts of all these people involved in these atrocities. And since I can't take revenge, I'm praying that you will choose to use me as an instrument to somehow, by some circumstance that I can't even imagine, to make a difference. See? That's praying apocalyptically. It's taking God at his word and anticipating in my prayer those days, those times, those circumstances when God will do what he's promised to do. And you know what happens? Peace. The burden rolls off my shoulders because I'm admitting that I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. I can't get on a machine gun the abortion clinic. That won't solve anything. That's not the answer. I can't blow up the clinic. That's not the answer. Who has the answer? God has the answer. What is my opponent in this battle? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wicked ones in heavenly places. That's the opponent. And so I pray, resourcing what God has promised against those forces of darkness and their human agents who are blinded and duped into doing their bidding. Okay? That kind of praying takes time. Some years ago, in the middle of a very, very stressful time here at the church, in a moment of despair, I went up to my son's room and I knelt down there by his bed. I stretched myself out and began to pray, and a verse of scripture came to mind. It says there that in a time of trouble we're to draw nigh to the throne of grace that we may receive strength to help in time of trouble. It's in Hebrews chapter 4. It's there. It says, come into God's presence. So I'm kneeling there, and I'm just frustrated and burdened, and I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do, and I'm overwhelmed and all this. And I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that with all my heart and mind. I'm going to go to the throne of grace. So I imagine myself, just imagine, it's all in my mind. I imagine myself being lifted up, and I look down on our house. In my mind, it's all my imagination, on my house. And as I went up, I imagined seeing the whole, and I imagined seeing all of Columbus. I've been up an airplane before. I know what that looks like. And I've seen some shots of the moon, so I imagined myself going past the moon, and I imagined the earth. I could just see the earth in my mind receding. And I'm looking up, and there's a shaft of life, and I'm approaching the shaft of life. So I get closer and closer and closer. There's a golden gate there in my mind. You know, Revelation talks about this, and there's golden streets, and I imagine going through that golden gate, and there's this long corridor, and at the end of it is this huge throne, and I go all the way down to the throne, and as I walk down, I can imagine my own mind's eye, the crowd parting, the angels parting, and I imagine the hero on this throne was this magnificent, incredible, powerful person. And I walked up to the base of the throne, and I was about to put myself at his feet, and I felt these strong arms, and I was lifted up, and I found myself sitting on the lap of God. Isn't that dumb? Doesn't that sound stupid? But in my mind's eye, I then turned and looked back, back down that long golden corridor, back out through those golden gates, back down through all the spiraling galaxies, and I could barely make out the sun, let alone the earth. And I imagined trying to see my house, and then I imagined all those problems, and I imagined how stupid I was. And it was like a dam breaking inside my heart. The problems were in his hands. And he can manage all of that. He can take care of my problems. Our Heavenly Father, give us those kinds of prayer moments where we see things in perspective, where your word becomes real to us, powerful, dynamic, where your promises become more than paper, where your presence is more than just a theological axiom, where you step into our time and space by your Spirit and make these things real, where in the wonder of your grace you quiet our hearts, ease our fears. Remind us that we are elect, chosen, beloved. We are not creatures of time any longer, but of eternity. In these moments that we're experiencing the evil around us, these moments that we are impacted by injustice, inequity, by all kinds of terrible, terrible, evil things, these days are limited. And soon, so very soon, we'll be cut off and we'll be released into your presence. Or by your grace, we'll be still living when Jesus summons us in the twinkling of an eye into his presence. And all of the battles will be behind us. You will deal with this world. You will establish your kingdom of righteousness and truth and justice and love upon this earth. You will cast Satan, his minions, and all those who practice his lawless deeds. You will deal with them justly, firmly, personally. So may we not despair. May we not cave in. May we not quit. May we not lose courage. May we carve out time to spend with you in focused prayer, that our lives would be renewed. May we be willing to have done with habits and practices that waste our energies and that diminish our spiritual hunger and our spiritual strength. May we be willing to quit doing those things that grieve the Spirit of God within us. May we fill our hearts and minds with your word, and then fill our prayers with your words, that you might fill our life with your presence and your peace. Until you become so exceedingly real to each of us that your presence controls our motives, our choices, our deeds. And out of your presence flows peace, love, and hope, and contentment. Give us that perspective and fill us with yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We absolutely should bring our needs and even our wants to God, but we'll need something more than that. So Jim recommended three kinds of prayer: prayer that listens for the voice of God, prayer born in the promises of Scripture, and apocalyptic prayer, praying with the end in view. With this program, we completed the sermon, The Coming Kingdom of God. You can have the whole lesson on CD for a gift of $7 or more. In fact, we're offering the 11 discs of Stories Jesus Told, Volume 2, for your donation of $38 or more. There are a couple of ways to order, but note this, whether you request a CD or not, we'd love to connect with you. Not so that we can put you in a database and harass you, but to learn how we can better minister to you. Please consider helping us with your prayers and gifts. And thanks to the ordinary believers everywhere who are doing that. On the internet, you can find us at rightstartradio.org. You can listen to the sermons or the radio shows from our website, and you can download the sermons for free. Our podcast is unusual. It's the radio show brought to you daily on iTunes. People love the convenience of that. We'll give you a link to set that up. So take a look at all the options on the homepage and make a contribution, if you like, at rightstartradio.org. rightstartradio.org. Or you can mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085 USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. What do a builder, a king, and a disciple have in common? Tomorrow we'll move to another parable of Jesus. We hope you can join us for Thursday's Right Start.